Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today. All this week we have been working through Matthew chapter 24, verses 43 through 51. And this section focuses on the need to be ready for the Lord's return, because no one knows the day nor the hour. And he's telling us that we are not to be caught off guard, but the Lord should find us doing the work of God that he's entrusted to us until he comes back. Today we'll specifically look at verse 47 of this section, which discusses the rewards which await the faithful believers when the Lord returns. Verse 47 reads as follows: "Assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods." Our study today will look at two areas. Number one, a simple explanation of verse 47, and then second of all, a survey of the rewards in general which the Bible mentions. So here in verse 47, once again it says, "Assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods." The context is the Lord's coming, which is mentioned in verse 46, and he said the blessed servant is the one whom the Lord finds doing the work of God when he returns. He's the one that's not caught off guard, but one that is accomplishing the will and purpose of God and using the gifts, talents, and abilities that the Lord has entrusted to him as a steward. He says that's the one that is going to be made ruler over all of his goods. And I do believe the faithful servant is both blessed in this life, the blessing of serving the Lord, as well as the blessing of being made ruler over all the goods that the Lord has. It is interesting that in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, it speaks of us as being joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And what that means is that all that the Son inherits, we also will inherit. Those things that do not obviously relate to the deity of Christ, we're going to be like him. The Bible says that we're going to rule and reign with him. So when the Lord comes back, or when our life ends and we give an account of our life, if we've been faithful with the tasks that the Lord's given to us, it says he'll make us ruler over all of his goods. And once again, I just find this incredible, that this is all by God's grace. God saves us by his grace, and then he gives us gifts by his grace. Then he empowers us to do the works, and then when we stand before him, he rewards us for the things that he has worked through our life. Our God truly is a God of grace. This same emphasis of being ready for the Lord's return is also seen in Luke chapter 19 at verse 11, which reads, "Now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Then Jesus went on to say, therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business until I come." Then it begins to describe in parallel form exactly what the Lord has done. He's come here to the earth, and now he has left. He went back home, and someday he's going to come back, and he's going to gather all of his servants together, and then we're going to give an account as to how we conducted ourselves. And see, these people at that time thought the kingdom of God was going to be established immediately, so the Lord had to teach them through parable form, saying, no, the kingdom isn't going to be established until the future. And here's what's going to happen in between the point that the Lord leaves and comes back, is that there will be those servants that are going to be found faithful, and there's going to be those servants who are going to be found unfaithful. We want to be those that realize that we don't know when the kingdom of God is to be established, so we're going to use the talents and abilities that God's given to us, and then when we stand before the Lord on that day, we're going to give an account of our life, and he is going to make us ruler over all of his goods. What a blessed privilege that will be. At this point, I'd like to move on to our second point for today and look at a survey of the rewards in general. But as we look at the rewards, we must first look at what comes before the rewards, and that is the judgment that we will receive from the Lord. It is true that the Lord's going to reward us for our works, but first of all, the Bible says our works are going to be tested. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14 read this way: "According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it." So the foundation has been laid, but now we as workers that come along and add to that foundation through our works and through our efforts, we need to be careful how we build upon it. He goes on to say, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, each one's work will become manifest. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he'll receive a reward." So here Paul pictures the judgment seat of Christ as us coming with all of our works, but first they're to be tested by fire. And if they're burned up, those are works that we've done in our flesh for our own glory, or not according to the will of God. The ones that last through that fire, it's going to manifest that those were done in a response to the love of God, in response to obedience to God, and those are ones that are done in the energy and power of the Spirit of God through His grace. Those are the ones that we're going to receive a reward for. So we don't receive a reward for everything that we've done, only those works which make it through the fire, that testing that'll be done to see what type of work it is. Now, this passage is not talking about entering into heaven. It's talking about your works being tested to see which ones you're going to receive a reward for. The second passage of Scripture which speaks about the judgment seat of Christ is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11. It says, "Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences." So here it says, because we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, that's that Bema seat of Christ, we are to make it our aim to be well-pleasing to the Lord. And whatever we do, we want to make sure our works are well-pleasing to God, because someday our works are going to be tested when we stand before that judgment seat of Christ. That judgment seat is the Bema seat, and that typically was where the athletes went. They went before the Bema seat to receive the rewards. Now, Paul in 1 Corinthians says, if those athletes have been found that they have not followed the rules, it says they're going to be disqualified. Here in verse 10, it says that we're going to receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So there will be that testing of the works which are described here as bad, and probably a better translation of the word bad is the word worthless. There's some works that we do in God's kingdom that we will not receive reward for because they are worthless, because they weren't done for the glory of God. They were done for our own selfish flesh that we would receive the glory. Jesus told the Pharisees, when you give and you sound a big trumpet, you've already received a reward. You've received that glory from man. And some of the works that we've done are worthless when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But also notice verse 11, it says, knowing the terror of the Lord. See, the terror of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is a strong motivator that we'd live our life well pleasing to the Lord and that we'd do our works for His glory only and not for ourselves. And he goes on to say about that terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And that's what I'm doing now, persuading you to live in light of the second coming of Jesus Christ, to be fine doing the work of God so that when you stand before Him, all of your works aren't going to be burnt up, or you're not just going to make it in as through fire, as 1 Corinthians chapter 3 describes. You want to be able to offer the Lord God of the universe works that have been done by His Spirit through your life for His glory and for His purposes to honor Him. Yes, He is so wonderful that He's going to reward you for those things, but that should really be a love offering that you want to give to the Lord. So now, knowing that the works are going to be tested by fire, we persuade men to make it our aim to be well-pleasing to the Lord. That would be the heart that we need. That's that wise servant. That's that blessed servant that's going to be made ruler over the goods that the Lord Himself possesses. A couple other places which speak about these rewards in Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 through 6, the Bible says that we're going to rule and reign with the Lord for 1,000 years during that millennial kingdom. And I do believe that what the Bible teaches is that your position in the millennium is going to be based on your faithfulness with the work that God has entrusted to you at this point. And I want to read to you a couple of scriptures that bring this point out. In Luke chapter 12, which is a parallel passage to what we've been reading about in Matthew 24, verses 43 through 44, read this way. "Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all he has." And that's talking about, I believe, in that millennial kingdom, that when we rule and reign with Christ, that we're going to share in that rulership. Then also, during the millennium, there'll be those who will be entrusted with much, and there'll be those who will be entrusted with little, and that will be based on the degree of faithfulness of the way in which you handle things in this life now. And Luke chapter 19, verses 17 through 19 seems to bear this out, where he says, "And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said, you also be over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Master, here's your mina, which I have kept and put in a handkerchief. For I have feared you, because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit, and you reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit, and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. But he said to him, Master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, And from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Verse 27 says, but bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. So it speaks of that judgment. But notice as I read, it says he'll make him ruler over 10 cities in verse 17 and in verse 19. I believe that we could take that as literal, because the kingdom of God, when the Lord comes back and he manifests it there during that thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth, will be on the earth, and there will be cities, and there will be administration that the Lord will entrust to his faithful servants. And your position in that millennial kingdom will be based on what you do in this life. One final passage to encourage you in relationship to works. I love this passage because it says that God sees everything and he doesn't forget the things we've done in his name. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So God will not forget anything that you've done. The Lord says, if you give a cup of cold water in his name, you're going to receive the reward of a prophet. The Lord loves to give. The Lord loves to reward. He just wants us to be faithful with the task that he has entrusted to us. That is the blessed servant. That is the wise servant that is doing the work of God when the Lord comes back.